Wow, I was going to say George the Tomato, but it's... What is his name?
Oh my gosh,
that's
I have no
merciful.
Idea.
Larry the Cucumber and Tom the Tomato? No, maybe. What is his name? Ben the Tomato? It's like a one-syllable thing.
Hi, welcome back to Under Our Roof. I'm Lizzie.
And I am Grace, or Semler, depending on how you know me, and you are listening to a quiet, cozy queer podcast about our lives at home. And if you're tuning in, that means that you are in our home. You are under our roof. You are a house guest. And to honor the fact that you really make this podcast what it is, this semi-secret podcast, have the energy that it does, this is an Ask Us Anything segment.
Yeah.
We haven't done one of these in a while.
I forget. We've definitely done an Ask Us Anything where it's just like no topic is, there's no like theme. It's just any topic that you feel like asking. But it's been like a couple years, I think.
It's query letters from you to us.
I think when I got pregnant, we did like a Q&A about the pregnancy, I want to say, but we haven't done like a just general grab bag Ask Us Anything. So
well,
here we go.
As a personal philosophy, any sort of content creativity that I have, I try and stay away from leaning too much into just people asking questions or only replying to people, because you want to put out something new and creative on your own without relying too much on just feedback from listenership or viewership. So I don't like to do AMAs too frequently because then they aren't that special. But this feels special. We haven't done one of these in a long time, and we haven't checked in a while.
Right. And I put on my Instagram story a little question box, and I said, ask us anything. And I specifically said it doesn't have to be about parenthood or the new baby, but it obviously can be, because I imagine people have questions about that. And I was right, because a good amount of the questions, probably like half the questions that we got, are about the baby, or, well, really more about parenthood. And then the other half are just general, like, random anything and everything. We got some really good ones. We definitely will not be able to answer all of them, so my apologies in advance, and thank you to everyone that submitted a question, because it allows us to make a fun little episode. But I wish we could get to all of them. We just can't for time.
With that all said, should we just jump on into
it? I feel like we should. What has been the sweetest part of parenthood so far?
I think it just shifts your access for me of how you look at the whole world through the lens of being a parent and having a child in just the sweetest and most tender way. I feel like it's instilled a new sense of patience in me, and there's a new excitement for everything. There's a new level of discipline within myself for my own personal goals, and a sense of responsibility for her. I just feel like it's almost just sort of unlocked a new layer. That's what's been the sweetest thing about parenting, is like finding this new gear of, I think, I guess, empathy. Does this sound like really conceited? Be like, I'm just so empathetic now. But like,
no, but it does kind of change everything.
Yeah.
And like really
tenderness. Yeah. I think I just feel so tender all the time. Mm-hmm. And just really soft and mushy, and she's just the sweetest baby. So
for me, I said this to a friend yesterday, actually, because she asked us what's the most surprising thing about parenthood, and my answer is kind of the same for most surprising and sweetest, which is the feeling of like being the like number one, or one of the two number ones, like me and Grace, for another person is really wild and unexpected. And I was telling my friend, it's like in my mind, like when she falls asleep on my shoulder, when I'm like holding her, like, you know, propping her up on my shoulder, or when she falls asleep in my arms, or when she like smiles at me, I feel like for a minute I'll be like, oh yeah, like she thinks that I'm like that safe person, like I'm playing the role well, like, of, you know, her thinking like, oh, this is my mom and I can fall asleep on you. And then I'm like, no, I am that. I am like her feeling my heartbeat is like the most soothing thing in the world to her. Like, I'm not playing a part. Like, I am that thing. I am her mom. And that's like really, I guess it's just imposter syndrome that I keep feeling like, okay, like, so she really believes that like I'm yeah. her person. And then I'm like, no, I am her person.
I feel that sometimes when she falls asleep on me, I'll yeah. be like, haha, like, look at me being so good at calming down this baby. And then I'll be like, my baby. Yeah, like, she, I'm good at understanding her needs because she's my baby. And then yeah. that's just such a trip of like, I can't believe that I'm her mom and that like I'm, and then, but then it's especially when there's like a little success, and I'm sure it'll be compounded when there's a little failure. Like, when you get something right, when you're like, oh, that is mm-hmm. what she needed to fall asleep. I'm just like, I'm maybe a good mom. Like, there's like this thing of, there is like the little imposter syndrome of just like, look at me go, like, soothing this baby, and then reminding myself, like, you are soothing your child. Like,
yeah, I know.
You're doing it.
And I've heard a lot of parents say that, like, when you go home from the hospital, that you're like, how are they letting us take this baby?
Yeah. Two teen parents. Really.
Yeah. I know.
Two teen parents in their 30s.
It is pretty wild. Favorite easy dinner. I have no motivation to make things after work. Gotta be a sheet bake.
Gotta be a
Don't
sheet
you
bake.
Think?
It's a staple in our house.
Yeah.
And you can do it in so many different ways.
So for us, a sheet bake is usually like a few staple veggies that roast really well in the oven and some type of protein. It could be cubed halloumi cheese. You can get it in a lot of like cheese sections at the store. Trader Joe's has it normally, although it's somewhat seasonal. More commonly, it's available in the winter or in the summer because it's like
chicken sausage or vegan chicken sausage.
Yes, chicken sausage is great. I like cut it into little medallions, and then also just like a piece of salmon. Mm-hmm. And so we'll put like fish, chicken sausage, cheese, whatever. You can do tofu on there too, whatever it is, and then like a bunch of veggies. So for the veggies, the ones that roast really well in the oven for me are like Brussels sprouts, cauliflower florets. You could also do broccoli, cubed sweet potato,
peppers.
Love grilled bell peppers or
not
roasted.
Green. You do roasted,
yeah,
like,
I like
red
orange,
or yellow tastes the best.
Orange, yellow, red. And then like some slivered slices of red onion. And mm-hmm. then I just do salt and pepper on everything. Now, wait, there's going to be more seasoning. So don't get skeptical that I don't season my food. But for the roasting part in the oven, I just throw everything with salt, pepper, and olive oil. And then roast it at like 415, usually for like 20 minutes. And that's it. And then you can always check and like if it needs more time, then it needs more time. But usually 20 minutes is perfect for everything I've just described at 415. And then this is the really like creme de la creme on top. I do a bunch of fresh chopped Italian parsley. In my opinion, it has to be Italian parsley, but Trader Joe's only sells curly parsley. So sometimes I have actually used curly parsley if I'm only going to Trader Joe's that week, but Italian parsley is superior in my opinion. And then some really finely grated, fresh grated, good Parmesan. Mm-hmm. So you have a little pile of freshly grated Parm. You have your little pile of chopped Italian parsley. Then you have a half a lemon and some flaky salt. And once the roasted stuff comes out of the oven, it's crispy, brown, warm, delicious. You just plate everything. You pile everything in a big pile, in a jumble, on a plate. And then you top it with the Parm, parsley, a big squeeze of lemon, and a big pinch and crumble of flaky salt. Mm-hmm. And it's just so good.
And if you want some heat to the veg, you can put some red pepper flakes too.
Yeah, very true. Any guy from church will do. Honey, I'll never blame you for the forks you choose. Honey, I'll never blame you. Lizzie, should I go to law school? Yes or no?
Ooh.
Yes or no?
Yes or no? We need more context.
Well, this is hard. I mean, I'm happy with my decision to go to law school. So.
Okay, maybe just say the type of person who you think would succeed in law school and maybe the type of person that would not enjoy it, so that person can evaluate for themselves.
We were actually just talking about this at brunch with Grace's mom, because we were talking about someone else going to more school, and I was saying how like I feel like I could have gone to more school in theory, like not there's no really higher degree for a lawyer, so you can't really just go to school forever, but I guess you could get like an LLM. But anyway, I just really liked school. So I feel like if you like school and like the academic setting is somewhere that you do reasonably well and like you enjoy it, that is important. Whereas somebody that kind of like getting through school is like kind of a slog, I feel like you're not gonna, it's hard. Like the first year of law school in particular is hard. I found that the second and third years were a lot more manageable. The first year kind of like separates the weak from the strong, I guess. Not that you're weak if you don't want to continue after your first year of law school, but it is sort of like almost academic hazing, I feel like, at first, because it's just really hard. But if you like school and you like to write, being a lawyer is a lot of writing, at least my kind of being a lawyer. There's many different types of lawyers, but most lawyers in my experience write, you have to read and write a lot. And for me, that was a huge plus because I am essentially illiterate with math. Like I genuinely think that I have something in my brain that isn't normal for numbers. I never did well. I like for the SATs, I got very high scores for reading and writing and like alarmingly low, like remedial, not on grade level, like need help for math. And if that's you, being a lawyer is a great way to do reasonably well in the professional world with zero math skills. I never use math, never have to. I pay someone to do my taxes. I can't even like plug it into the H&R Block software. You know what I mean? That level of like, I have a problem with numbers. Mm-hmm. So if that's you, that could be good. If you're good at math, it's not a bad thing for being a lawyer, but yeah. So I don't know. I think if you like school, if you like reading and writing, and honestly, I would also take into account how much debt, if any, you are going into, because that should be a factor. I would be a little wary of like taking on like a ton of like soul crushing debt to go to law school, but people do it and they get out from under it. But yeah, just that's my two cents. Have you guys seen Saltburn yet? Thoughts? Bathtub emoji, grave emoji. I'm pretty sure.
What were the emojis?
Bathtub and gravestone.
Oh, you devious little house guest.
So yes, I'm pretty sure. Am I wrong in thinking that we watched it like the day after we got home from the NICU while Francis was sleeping?
I think that is terrifyingly correct. Yeah. I believe that that was maybe one of the first movies we watched with our newborn child.
Yeah. So we've been in a little pattern. So Francis sleeps in our room and we have a big projector that pulls down from the ceiling that we can watch in bed. And it is a real delight to watch things in bed while
psychological luxury.
Yeah, we call it psychological luxury. And Francis sleeps through all of it. I'm sure she's going to become more like sentient and start being like, hey, what's playing in the room? But so far, no. Mm-hmm. She sleeps through all TV and movies. And yeah, we were like, let's start this movie. I was like, I might want to fall asleep because I've been sleeping on a pullout chair in the NICU. And then we both were like, no, we're staying awake for this.
It just got more and more shocking. But I will say that as gay people who love queer cinema, and when I say cinema, I'm referring to movies like Below Her Mouth and the L Word Generation Q under the guise of cinema, I wasn't like, it was a watch for sure, but it was not the most shocking thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It was a fun watch. I enjoyed it.
Great soundtrack. It kind of stuck with me. Like I kept thinking about the movie mm-hmm. a bit after.
Great
which
characters.
I feel like is always a sign of a good movie that like it kind of sticks with you and you mull it over a bit. I thought it was really fun.
We love a twist. So if you like a queer mm-hmm. movie with a twist, Saltburn could be for you.
Yeah, I agree. How have you been postpartum? That's a nice question. I've been pretty good. We're just about a month out from having her. And for me, I feel like a month is about the amount of time that it's taken to kind of like feel relatively normal in my body again. I say that with like a big caveat of like it's going to be different for everyone. A friend of mine was just mentioning like it took her more like 6 weeks to kind of feel okay, and other people may bounce back faster. But I, not to say like my body is like the same, like I'm changed forever, and also breastfeeding, that doesn't totally feel normal because I'm dealing with that, which there's all kinds of sensations and body changes that happen with that. But as far as like, you know, I talked in the birth story episode about me tearing and just the, you know, pain and discomfort that follows birth. It now about a month out, I'm like, I kind of feel like I have healed from that, but I have my OB checkup in 2 more weeks. And so we'll see what she says, how everything's healing. But yeah, I feel pretty good.
And speaking of how postpartum is different for everyone, do you know who Ballerina Farms is?
I was just thinking about that. Yeah.
Why has this come on my FYP? I feel like I'm on your phone, but it's come up on my FYP because is her name Ballerina Farms?
No, that's like the name of her like brand or like blog sort of
thing. Oh, so she's not like, hello, my name is Ballerina.
No, I don't think so.
Mrs. Ballerina Farms.
I mean, I guess maybe I could be wrong,
so
but
she's like a mom of five that
eight, I think.
What?
This was her eighth child.
No.
So I don't know that much about her.
What?
For those who have no idea what we're talking about.
I just really did. That's a lot of children.
Yeah.
Eight children, and she just had I'm just following this on the fly because like I think now my FYP is catching up, especially after I posted like a few videos on TikTok of like my experience of being a parent. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, so you want some parent shit? And then they're like, here's Ballerina Farms, and she is in a beauty pageant, but she just gave birth like how many weeks ago or something? You tell me. What is the saga here?
So I didn't know that much. I had heard of her before this recent like sort of stir. But
Mrs. Farms.
Yeah, Mrs. Farms. But I couldn't have picked her out of a lineup. Like, I didn't really know that much about her.
I still couldn't, and I've seen her.
But she's kind of known for... Apparently, she married into, like, an extremely wealthy family and has, like, a $40,000 stove. That's, like, what people always cite. They're like, her stove costs $40,000.
Yeah, like, the aesthetic is very, like, I'm just a little house on the prairie.
Yeah.
But she's,
makes her own bread.
Quite well-to-do.
I'm pretty sure it's eight. Maybe I'm wrong that she has eight kids, but I thought she did. And like the week after having a home birth.
The week after?
Yeah. It was like days after.
Are we speculating? Is this all just speculation? Like, do we know that or?
That's what I
guess heard. We're just guessing. Take everything that we say with a grain of salt. We just found out about Mrs. Farms and we're just relaying the information in a casual setting. This is just a living room conversation. We don't know if any of this is true.
Yeah. Basically, this person that's sort of like a lifestyle influencer for kind of like homestead type living and having a
for
bunch
of kids.
For the
ballerina and farmer community.
Yeah. She had a child, one of her many children, her most recent one, she birthed. And then within a few days, went to compete in a beauty pageant that I think is specifically for like married women. It's like Mrs. World. Yeah.
Well, the other thing I want to appreciate is that there are only two genders, and I think they acknowledge that with one being a ballerina and one being a farmer.
That's true.
Those are the two genders.
Anyway, I cannot imagine having like being well, and people, I've seen videos of people being like, is she still like in the diapers, like under her dress? Because, oh, I wore adult diaper. I will just get real personal with you guys. This week is the first week that I have just worn normal underwear. And that's felt pretty special and great. Yeah. I was wearing adult diapers. I was wearing hospital disposable underwear. And now I'm graduated. I'm a big kid now. I'm just...
You are ready to go to Mrs.
Yeah.
What is it? Like Mrs. American?
Mrs. World, I think is the...
Mrs. World.
But there's no way she was just... You bleed for a while. I just stopped.
Yeah. She's something's happening for sure. But she seems to have a lot of help.
Yeah, that's
so
what people
I think
are
that
saying.
That's, like, she seems to have like tons of people on deck to help her with things. And it's no shade towards Mrs. Ballerina Farms, but I just, speaking of how everyone's postpartum is different, it's like that is a really different priority. Postpartum priority that we do not share. Our priority is to watch as much of The Traitors as we can.
And Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, and Grey's Anatomy.
Dream travel destinations with Francis. I love this
Japan
question. Yes, we are dying to go to Japan. We've always wanted to go. Like, we've been talking about Grace and I going for years, and it just hasn't worked out. We probably would have gone for like a baby moon, except that we had some other travel obligations in 2023. So now we're going to make it happen with baby Francis at some point, maybe in like a couple years.
Yeah. And I would also love to take her to Maine, which is where I spent a lot of my childhood. And I'm excited to, like, a dream travel destination is also just a successful trip to Kentucky and North Carolina, where our families are. Like, that's also a dream. A dream is to go see Darren and your friend Anna up north.
Yeah, we want to take her to Oregon and Washington.
So we have, I would say, reach dreams like Japan and more simple dreams that we can probably attain within the next year.
Yeah, I also think it'd be fun to take her to France at some point. Francis in France.
Yeah,
it'd
for
be
sure.
Cute. We both like France. We've been there a bunch. Okay, there's been a few questions about how Bean and Bunny are adjusting and how we are, like, somebody specifically was like, how are you feeling about the dogs? And I'm going to open up a little bit and just say that it was actually really hard for me coming home with Bean specifically. And I have really turned a corner in the last like week, and I'm so grateful. So like, I always love Bean in my heart. Like my rational brain loves Bean, and I very much love Bean now. But I had a period where like for maybe 2-3 weeks after we brought Francis home, I was so annoyed with him, and I would feel really guilty, but he would bark, and I just didn't want him near the baby. And like, I was like, that was probably one of the hardest things postpartum, other than like being in the NICU. Grace and I had to have like a code word where I was like, come get him. Like, I need him away from me. If I was like in the bed nursing Francis and Bean was like jumping up near us, I would be like, get him out. Like, I felt terrible, but it's not like I was like, you know, he can't sleep in the bed, because he's always slept in our bed, and I would have never taken that away from him, because he would, I think, become very depressed if he wasn't allowed to sleep in our bed. So he's sitting in my lap as we record this under a blanket. We're totally made up. I had a moment a few nights ago where I was up trying to get Francis to go to sleep at like 12:30. And feeling like very tired and a little overwhelmed, as you can as a new parent when your baby is not sleeping. And Bean just like snuggled up to me at the exact right time when I kind of like needed a little friend. And I just like, the clouds parted, and I feel like the same warmth towards him that I always did. But I had a period where I was like, I was never like, we have to like get rid of Bean or something. I kind of like knew that it would fade and I would go back to feeling normal. But like, at the same time, you don't know, when you're just like, when will I feel the same way about him? And I would Google things like, you know, feeling different about my dog after giving birth. And there were so many people that were like, oh yeah, I rehomed my dog because I stopped liking him after having a baby. And I was like, oh my God, like, I knew I wasn't going to do that. But I was just like, what if I never like love him in the same way again? And I was like kind of heartbroken about it. But it was like my hormones and my kind of like biological like mama bear feeling was like, no, the baby is what matters. Like, he needs to get away.
Yeah. And I think that some of his cues that we know are just him communicating, for example, Bean, I don't know if y'all might have heard it on the podcast, it's possible that it's happened before, he kind of growls. But if I say growl, you're not thinking of, I think, what I'm describing. Like,
it's like a grumble,
it's
noise.
Like a grumble thing. So he's not, his hackles aren't up or anything, he just growls to like communicate, or usually if he's alert, like it'll be like, how do I,
it's like a think whoa,
it's, yeah, it's even sound. Like if you're like petting him and he likes it, he'll just be like, like, just, yeah. He makes this like kind of grumbly noise. It's very, Bean is weird. Y'all know this. He's a very odd little guy. And typically I know, and you know, what those cues mean, and not to, they don't stress us out that much, but it was even like the growling would stress you out. Like, the barking, of course, is stressful, but it was even the cues that we know don't mean, aren't harmful or anything, or just are, they're just him vocalizing, that would be like, that's too far.
Yeah, I just, it was like this visceral kind of like reaction around him. I just like wanted everything to be like perfect and serene around the baby, and he was just like a little too rambunctious. Bunny, on the other hand, has been an angel and was very sweet and calm around the baby from the beginning. She never had any issues. I think this sounds bad, if we didn't have Bean, I don't mean it like that, but just if Bunny was the only dog in the house, then I would have had zero issues postpartum with dogs. But I almost lumped her in with Bean. I was just like, get the dogs away from me kind of feeling. And then now I really have turned a corner, and I'm so glad, because I did worry, like, what if I'm like those people on Reddit who are saying that they like had to get rid of their dogs because they like didn't love them anymore after having a baby. And I can officially say I definitely, like, I'm touching Bean. We're like snuggling as we're recording this. He's my little guy again, and I just needed a little time, and I think my hormones needed to balance out, which they're starting to. Latest Trader Joe's obsessions.
I mean, it's tried and true, obsessed as always. It's got to be the garlic spread.
I was going to say the garlic dip. I mean, that's a relatively, I feel like we started being obsessed with that since we've lived in this house, which has been since August.
Gotta be the garlic spread with pretzel thins.
Yes, that is like a favorite snack. So it's a purple and white container at Trader Joe's. It's like with the hummus where they have it, and it's so good. It's like called the garlic spread dip, I think. And you can like put it as like a condiment on a sandwich. You can like mix it with something else to make like a super dip. But honestly, I just love dipping a pretzel thin. I don't know where I started this from, but dipping a pretzel thin in it, it's so good. And that's definitely an obsession. What else?
They're cookie ice cream sandwiches.
Yes. Oh yeah. They're called the Sublime ice cream sandwiches, I think. And they're like chocolate chip cookies for the sandwich part. And then like vanilla ice cream in the middle. And
decadent.
Those are so good. I ate those a lot during pregnancy. Sweet and spicy pecans.
Yeah.
Always got to get a bag of those. Their nuts in general are really good.
Their Talkie Dupes are pretty good too.
I like their Talkie Dupes more than Talkies, I honestly think. Because they just have a little bit of the edge taken off. Sometimes Talkies, I'm like, this is going to burn a hole in my stomach. And I feel like the
And it is.
Yeah. And the Trader Joe's ones are just like slightly more, less like sort of chemical burn tasting. Mm. And they're really good. What home projects are you looking forward to?
We have a few home projects I'm looking forward to. I think the boring one is like we have some plumbing work that we really need to make a priority and get fixed. And then we want to fence in the front yard so that the dogs don't run out. And then I think we would work on my studio.
Yeah, we want to convert. We have a garage that we're not using as a garage. We're just kind of using it for some...
It's a pretty narrow single car garage.
Yeah, it's a one car garage. And it would be the perfect size for a studio for Grace. And so before we even moved into the house, before we even closed on the house, we were thinking we would want to convert it, just like insulate it and finish it off because it has like exposed kind of ceiling right now, and turn it into a studio, get some air conditioning and heating in there. So that it's, you know, year round and the instruments will be climate controlled. And I think that could happen this year. And yeah, fencing in the yard. And other than that, like random little boring homeowner type stuff, like we want to put in some like rain barrels to catch water to make sure it stays off the foundation, just stuff like that. But yeah, fencing in the yard will be really nice.
I think that'll happen within the next month or so.
Yeah, I hope so.
Let the record show, if you do happen to hear any babbling on this episode, I don't know. I haven't listened to it back yet. We're recording this on the go. It's just Frances having an active nap, but she is probably waking up soon. So we're going to just do a few more questions.
Yeah, she's like 4 feet from us right now. Favorite novel you've read while nursing so far? If you don't know, I've been reading a ton of books on my Kindle. And I've been using Libby, and that's like the app for public library books. So you can get ebooks for free from your library. And I've been reading like one every 3 days or so. And it's been really nice because like I spend so much time feeding her, and half the time she's asleep. Like I don't want to ignore her if she's like wanting to connect while she's nursing, but most of the time her eyes are closed. So I'm reading, and I think one of my favorites was this book. Randomly, I was kind of skeptical of it, but it was like a free download on Kindle called The Spy Coast. That was so good. It was like a really fun mystery. I've been mostly reading mysteries because I want something that's like a little bit exciting and like a page turner to keep me awake, because a lot of times I'm feeding her in the middle of the night. I'm reading this book called Something in the Water that my friend recommended right now, and it's really good. Like that, I'm thinking like right now I'm excited to keep reading it and see what happens. I finally read The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, which everyone was reading like 5 years ago. I'm a little late to the game, but I'd heard about it. I feel like for the last years of my life, I haven't let myself like really make time to read fiction because I read all day for my job. And at night, I just don't feel like reading. I just want to like turn off my brain and watch TV. So I would normally just read like on vacation, like I'd get a book to read on the plane. But now that I'm reading every day while I nurse her, I have been catching up on books that I've heard for years were really good, like The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. That one was super good. Not a mystery, but like, although I guess sort of an unfolding mystery about this woman's life. Really, really fun book. I'm excited for Grace to read it. What are your favorite tips for creating a home together? Just moved in with my fiance.
Well, the whole thing is so exciting, and there's something so sweet about folding into someone else's routines and figuring out how you navigate your life with someone else's. You know, when do they leave for work? When do they come home? When do you leave? What are some habits that you're going to start together? If you have pets, like, when do you decide to feed them? You know, these conversations are really simple, but very sweet. So I think on top of that natural folding in with another person, which is just going to happen because it has to, trying to find really like fun traditions that you can incorporate into your life together that are maybe brand new for both of you. So when Lizzie and I moved in, I think that's when we started going to like Cantor's more regularly, mm-hmm. and just finding little things that we would do together that were firsts for both of us in the area.
Yeah, like doing things for the first time. Like, I never got a Christmas tree of my own until we lived together. Yeah. That was really special to be like, okay, now that we live together, I'm going to get a Christmas tree every year, like a fresh one. That was super fun. And making special meals, looking for us, I remember when we moved in together in 2017, Riverdale was relatively new. It was like coming back for season 2.
Yep.
And it was like the big show or one of them. Like, we were really excited to watch Riverdale. And I remember us being like, we've got to get like our internet set up and like the TV set up so we can watch Riverdale, and just like having like appointment viewing for a specific thing. Once we like had our cozy couch put in and everything, we were like really excited to do that. And then I would also say, as far as decorating, if I'm not sure if that's what your question was kind of pertaining to, but taking your time. We're doing that with our new house, mm-hmm. for sure. Like, we have been here since August. We still don't have a rug in our bedroom because our bedroom's a totally different size. Mm-hmm. Most of the rooms, like, we kind of had to start over from scratch and like get rid of old furniture because it just didn't work super well from our old house. And we still don't have some things, several things, actually. And it's been nice to just like take our time with it and collect things over time. If you buy everything in one weekend from one store, it will show.
Yeah, I think view it as a long-term collaboration and leaning into another person's strengths, if that's something that you are not so good in. The example I'm thinking of is that I am really not good at decorating a room, but I do know that about myself. I can give, I think, an informed opinion if Lizzie's like, what do you think between these two options? And I can be like, oh, I like that option best. I can be decisive in that regard. But if it were up to me of like, you need to pick a bedside table, I'd be like, what? I just don't even know where to start. Like, and I probably would just, it's hard for me to think in the context of a whole space. So just collaborate with your partner and take your time in doing so. Rome wasn't built in a day. And then the other thing that I think is crucial to the happiness of a home is do your best to make it a silly goose household. And what I mean, I think about this all the time with our household. We are a silly goose household through and through. We can't help it. It's who we are. We are always wanting to be silly geese. It doesn't mean that there aren't hard days and that there aren't times when we're frustrated, but our stasis is at a silly goose level. And I think that that helps bring some levity into your life because life is hard enough as it is. So whatever that means to you, I won't expand on it any further, but try and find ways to create a silly goose level at your home because that's what you need in life. You got to laugh. You know, we're all going through it.
I agree. Well said. Will Francis experience VeggieTales?
Oh my gosh. What a question. I don't know.
Cause you're his cheeseburger, his yummy cheeseburger. He'll wait for you, ooh, yeah, he'll wait for you, ooh. Oh, you are his cheeseburger, his tasty cheeseburger. He'll wait for you, ooh.
Though your question was likely a silly goose question, speaking of, I think about this type of thing pretty frequently. Like, I don't really know how I'm going to explain what I do or my childhood and what I write about to Frances, because we are going to be raising her very differently. VeggieTales, will she? I mean, she might experience it as in like through understanding my work, I guess. I'd have to explain it to her. But if your question is, will we be sitting her down to like watch VeggieTales? I don't think so. But I don't know how some of those episodes have aged. I'm not sure. I don't really think so, but I don't know. I don't know. That's such a loaded one.
Yeah, I partly...
Why am I so serious over it? Is Frances going to... She's not... It's not going to be the same. I can tell you that. It might be like if she's interested in learning about different religions and stuff, then maybe VeggieTales would be a good way of explaining certain Bible stories. But I haven't watched a lot of those episodes back in a long time. The cheeseburger song is still nice.
Well,
right?
Are they even making VeggieTales now?
No, I don't think so. And actually, yeah. As I said that, apparently the cheeseburger song is a metaphor for waiting until marriage. So then maybe we wouldn't show her that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. Guys, well, it's hard.
I think
we
mostly
got raised so weird.
I feel like for me, it's similar to like, will she watch any cartoons from my childhood? And it's like, maybe, but she's probably going to want to watch like Paw Patrol and Bluey.
Yeah.
You know, like.
I certainly will not be like, you need to learn about the story of Esther and this is how you're going to learn it. But if it organically might come up, like if she ever wonders about a line, I don't think I reference VeggieTales in any songs of mine, but if she were to ever be curious about like Larry the cucumber and I was going to say George the tomato, but it's, what is his name?
Oh my gosh.
That's
I have no
merciful.
Idea.
Larry the cucumber and Tom the tomato? No,
maybe.
What is his name? Ben the tomato? It's like a one syllable thing. Matt the tomato?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh, I can't. What is his name? Ron the tomato.
Ron?
No, Doug. What is his
name? I couldn't tell you.
I have to look it up. You can ask the next question while I look this up, and then I will exclaim it when I find it.
Okay. Lizzie, what's your favorite song that Grace has written? I have so many favorites. Of course I love
Bob the tomato.
Bob, yes.
Sorry, go on.
Of course I love You Old Fashioned, which is the theme song for this podcast, because it was like the first song Grace ever wrote for me, and Grace recorded it for Valentine's Day in like 2014 or 2015 or something, and it was like a surprise for me. But one of my favorite songs for some reason is 20s. I've always thought that was like a really strong song for you, and I just love it. I love the production too, not just like the writing, but that's a great one. And then I really love some of the new songs, I gotta say, not to do like a little plug, but what's that one that has like the really cool bridge that Jack sings on?
Oh, In the Ether.
Yes. I really like that
Listen,
song.
Listen, I'll put a clip of that in this episode, but you need to know that what you're about to hear is the most demoist of demos. We're recutting all of this. I'm redoing the vocals. I know it's not perfectly in time, but I'll put the bridge in here just because I trust y'all.
Oh, the bridge is so good.
My God, where's my peace of mind? My God, where's my peace of mind?
You've become my fan fiction. What else could I do? You said leave me alone, so I made you my muse and created a version of you.
Okay, and with that, maybe we'll make the last question. Is there an ETA for Grace's album?
There is not an ETA that's being impressed on from an outer force. It's from me, I guess. I would like to have my album done before Lizzie goes back to work full time. So that's okay. Kind of the
deadline.
I didn't
know that was your thought. But
oh, really? Well, yeah, I want to be able to then when you go back to work full time, that I'm not needing to go out to do sessions and cut vocals, like that I already have a product that I can then start to pitch around, that I already have that music ready to go. And that way it just means that I can be home with Frances. Like if I need to wake up earlier and do emails or something or have a call or something during one of her naps, I would well rather that than like needing to so early on bring in someone so I can be gone for a whole day while you're gone as well.
Yeah.
Like I want to avoid that and I want to be very present as long as I am able to prior to touring the record, which actually would probably be in 2025.
What, touring?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I have some shows on the horizon that I will let y'all know about. But as far as like touring a new record, I don't think that would happen until 2025 because the new album might not be out until the fall.
That makes sense. But you're going to do like one-off shows throughout this year.
Yeah.
And then I feel like that's actually perfect timing for Frances's age as well, though.
Yeah.
So she's like over a year old.
What I will share about the new music and this new process is how thankful I am and will be to y'all if you are listening to my music, if you're rooting for my music, just for your patience, because I want to do this right. I can't tell you how important I feel this album could be and how I really want to put out a Christian record that would have helped me growing up. I think of this really as like an elevated preacher's kid. And I just want to do it right. And that requires a lot of doing work kind of quietly and behind the scenes. And I'm just hopeful. I'm so hopeful that by the time I sort of come up for air and I'm ready to reveal some of the stuff I've been working on, that there's still a level of like interest, because like relevancy is a currency in the music industry. And I don't like to play into it too much, but it is something I think about. It's something I'm aware of, especially with the way that the music industry treats anyone over the age of 30. Like, I am just hoping that I can create something new and different and exciting. I believe that I can. I trust my collaborators and I trust the people and the community I've found through my music, but this is definitely my biggest swing yet. And I'm excited about it, but it's also, it is absolutely daunting to go into it. So thank you for your patience and truly like spare me a kind thought along the way. And I hope y'all will check in as I start to roll things out. And I hope I make everybody proud. Definitely there's a level of weight to it as well with having a child, of just like, God, I definitely can't suck now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know that she's obviously going to roast me. I think that's a healthy thing for a child to do to a parent. But man, I really don't want this album to blow.
Yeah, Frances will never let you forget it.
But I just don't want her to like have to like come to a show with those big helicopter earphones on being like, oh, this is brutal. So
she's not going to think that.
I don't know.
Frances is so enthralled by Grace. It's really sweet.
Like, she loves us both, and she's, the lights are turning on in her eyes, and it's the coolest thing to witness.
Yeah, she definitely lights up when I pass her to you.
She lights up when I pass her to you.
Well, it's not a competition, but it's I see her, I can observe more when I'm passing her to you, when versus I can't watch myself with her.
Right, right.
And so it's just really sweet to see.
It is sweet. We are very lucky. We're very happy.
Yeah.
It's a good time. It's a good time to be under our roof.
I'm going to say it, and I'm probably jinxing it by saying this, but she slept 7 hours straight the last two nights. And
she got rave reviews from her doctor's appointment. She said they were in the, that Frances is in the 87th percentile height of height for girls her age.
Yeah. She's doing great.
So it's fun. All fun information. And thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for your questions. And thank you, thank you, thank you for sticking with us all these years on this podcast and making it what it is, the community that we found. And we will see you next week for a brand new episode of the podcast that we call
Under Our Roof.
My love for you. Go.